Anybody else? Let's go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for the praises we've heard here, Lord, and we thank you for the men that are here whose lives have been changed, Lord, forever because of an encounter with you. Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord. Help us to dig into it, Lord, to learn, to eat on the meat, Lord God, to feast on the meat, Lord God. We'll forever be changed and we can go out as conquerors in your world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Turn in your words to Matthew 26. What up, dog? Matthew 26, 36. We're gonna look at Gethsemane. And we're going to be talking about boldness tonight. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him and began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away one more time and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Let's stop right there. Does anybody know what Gethsemane means? Yeah, no, I don't. No, I do. I do. I do. Most time I would. It means oil press. The stuff that we lay hands on with, that we're still in the same bottle, I might add, that we started with, it's oil press. Believe it or not, the oil doesn't just jump out of the olive into the bottle. It doesn't just freely come forth. The oil must be pressed down at tremendous pressure to get the oil. The purest thing out of the olive takes a tremendous amount of pressure to get to where it is a usable entity. Okay? That is what Gethsemane means. It is only after a great amount of pressure that you get the oil. Why do you think Jesus took Peter and the sons of thunder into the Garden of Gethsemane? They were his closest brothers. I mean, y'all, get behind that. Jesus is going to the garden. What's up, my dog? And he takes his closest brothers with him. He wants support from his closest brothers during his most trying time. Now, understand, again, Gethsemane, a crushing, a pressing down is going to be coming. Why do you think Jesus was sorrowful and troubled?
He knew the plan.
You
have a book.
Amen. The what, Tim?
He knew where he was going.
He knew where he was going. But what was the wrestling match about? I mean, what was?
Is he sure that that's God? What God wants?
Is he sure that's what God wants? I mean,
I think he just didn't want to have to deal with it.
Yeah, I think.
Amen.
I think
Amen.
That looks like a really good plan.
Let's sit here. The wrath of God
turned loose. Amen. To sum it up and simplify it, it's God's will, His Father's will for His life. And then, is there any other way?
But He always comes back.
But if it's he, we're gonna get to that. But the reason He went to the garden was because He had a decision to make. You know, he had a temptation to defeat. So he goes and sets the course for us to sail in the same way. So his flesh was crying out to stay in the world with those who had grown close to his brothers. You know, he brought three of them with him, the ones that were closest to him. Amen.
Yes, the word says he was tempted. He knew all the temptations that we've been tempted with, and he overcame them.
Amen.
So if he was tempted in the same way we're tempted, well, then when he got cut, he felt pain. When he was nailed to the cross, he felt all that, and I think that his flesh was screaming out, "Hey, I'm scared of that."
Amen.
Because he was tempted. He was the Son of God. He could have chose not to go on the cross.
It was a choice. God allowed him to make the choice. Why the garden?
It's right there, close to where he's going to be crucified, within sight. He was peaceful.
That was his.
The time is near.
I'll submit this to you. It's not, it's just a thought from my head. The first Adam lost the original temptation, the battle with Satan, in where? The rematch is going to take place where? Because Jesus is known as the last Adam. What was taken away in the garden will be restored with Jesus Christ. Okay? So it's only fitting that what was taken away, the will of the Father, Adam could have made the right choice, but he didn't. And sin came into the world with Adam. Now Jesus has the same choice to let it pass, to let the Father's cup pass, or does he take it up in the garden? I just think that's cool. I think Jesus said, let's fight again, and let's fight here in the garden. You might have won the first time, but this will not go down the same way. Amen. Verse 39 says, wait a minute.
Going deeper, or going a little further, he fell face down in
prayer. Amen. Wait. Keep reading. It says,
"My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will."
Why do you think that's important to us? I mean, get down deep in this. He gives us a choice. Our will or His will. And it is obviously, if it's going to be a struggle.
Sometimes His will is suffering.
Amen. 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 What was Jesus' will? Amen. Do what?
His Father's will.
Amen. To be obedient in His Father's will. That was Jesus' will. Was the Father's will to be done. So, he had the choice to choose other things. To keep staying here, to hanging out with his buddies, to be a powerful earthly, prince. To be the king of the Jews in a literal sense of having riches and stuff. He had those choices. I mean, Satan offered it to him. But Jesus' will was it the Father's will. And to be obedient to it. How is that battle? I want you to think about your own life. How is that battle relevant to us? How can you take Scripture and make it fit to the battles you're going to face and do face and have face?
We brought it up before, but it harkens back to the devil of the world. My sin nature is always focusing on the here and now, the right here, right now, do this, the temporary, so to speak, where God's saying, it's like, I don't want your mind on the temporary, I don't want your mind on this, I want your mind on the eternal, my will. Not just the struggle you face, because it's going to hurt for right now, but you need to keep your eyes on me, because what you're facing right now is just temporary. What I want you to do has eternal ramifications.
Amen.
I know Jesus is struggling with going to the cross and being separated from God, but he trusts God, knowing that after that, God always says the final word on things. Even when the world says that's it, it's over, God always knows, I have the final word.
Amen.
And that's where he went right back to the Father, and where the disciples were saying, no, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. You don't have to go down that road. He knows where to go to.
He said, no, it's going to be this one.
Yeah.
Well, let's parlay that into what that might sound like in your life. Is, Father, can I be a godly man without being in my Bible and having an active quiet time? He says, he's not going to thump you. He's not going to make you have a quiet time. But that's a question we might ask. That, Father, can it not be my fault if I look at porn and if my wife doesn't pay me any attention? Can't that be okay? Can I get a go-ahead? That's okay? Father, can I still drink and get drunk some? I mean, wouldn't that be so? Why do I have to set the example, Father? Why does it have to be me? Why do I have to be the spiritual leader of my house? Why? I mean, you know, that's what it would sound like. I mean, it sounds so far off. I mean, Jesus is saving the whole world. We're not. But how does that relate to the battle we're going to face? Why do I have to do your commands? Because it says in the Bible, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. If you love me. Remember that. So we see Jesus is set. I mean, he's obviously showing us how to battle temptation.
Now, with the disciples being asleep, is that basically telling Jesus he's alone anyway?
I don't think so. I mean, I have read this, and I was reading this John Bevere book on intimidation, and he had a different thought on it. Made me start thinking a little bit. Is he brought his three trusted brothers with him? I think that the burden of the pressure and the disappointment that they realized that Jesus was not going to be able to stay with them, because they were in crunch time and Jesus is crying tears of blood, they realized that this is not going to be the way they think it's going to be. He is going to leave. And I think, you know, what happens when you cry so long, you can't cry anymore? You fall asleep a lot of times. I don't think this, I mean, I don't know. They could have gotten lazy and just fallen asleep.
Yeah, I kind of read that. You know, it says, my Father, if it is not
possible for
this cup. That's almost sounded like a response
from Jesus.
When he came back, he realized that, okay, the human side of these guys just ain't going to get it.
Amen.
There's my answer. I know I've got it. Yeah. But he knew it, but he seemed asleep, you know, disappointed.
Absolutely. I mean, he was disappointed. Three trusted brothers. They left the rest, separated off. He's sharing his heart and life. I'm going to go over here by myself and pray. Y'all just support me in prayer. Come back. Man, if I did that with you guys and the three of them, man, I'd be like, look, stay awake a little while.
The first time he said, if it is possible. The next time he said, if it is not possible. Like that opened his eyes even more.
Yeah.
The fleshly side.
He's seeing it more and more. Every time he goes back. Three times he went back and they were asleep every time.
You know, Tim, I think something else too, also with the fact that the choice ultimately is his. You know, he's got his friends there, you know, we've got our brothers and everything else. And he has the choice. You know, it can't be made for us. You know, when Job sitting there with his best friend telling him, you know, look, well, you must have done something bad, that's why you cursed God, died, everything else. And you know, naturally he resisted that. Even with Jesus Christ, you know, his three best buddies been together for a long time. You know, and they're worn out and everything else. But ultimately, that was a decision. They couldn't talk him into or advise him on, quote, advise, but that he had to make. He had to accept this course from God himself.
Amen.
To move forward with it. And we all.
Amen. You know, Sons of Thunder were at the garden. They really weren't that great at the garden. Fell asleep. Let's pray that that doesn't go on in Sons of Thunder's ministry, that we're known for sleeping on the job. Amen.
That didn't happen with Peter. I mean, Peter slept too, but you don't see Peter. They don't talk about Peter sleeping in the book of Acts. Amen? God did not force him to do his will. I think this is vitally important, and God will not force you. But if you're going to be a game changer, you got to be about the Father's will. What did the garden reveal to Jesus about the Father's will that he didn't already know?
I think he already knew it. He'd been preaching for 3 years that his temple is going to be destroyed and be rebuilt in 3 days.
He knew the Father's will. Now he had to become it. He had accepted, but then he had to step into it. And that's a statement for us too. I mean, we know, you know, what God has set aside for us to do as men.
Had Jesus experienced fear at this level yet, though?
Probably not.
I mean, this would be a temptation to fear, to escape fear.
Great point. He can either, you know, escape fear or overcome fear. Same choice we have.
Something that it talks to me with is, Jesus goes in the garden, and it's almost as if when he's praying, he's asking the Father, is there any other way? And I know in my life sometimes I've asked God, is there any other way? And this is the example of answered no. Do it my way.
Amen.
Be obedient right now.
The answer didn't change. He just got used to the answer. What had the disciples been doing before, as they were together? What had they been doing before they went to the garden?
They'd
been arguing about who was the greatest. You know, how things changed when they left where they'd been meeting, talking, arguing about who's the greatest, is it me? You know, and then they go out about the Lord's business and go with Him to support Him and. None of them are worthy. You know, for all fall short of the glory of the Lord. Yeah, it shows how weak the flesh is.
And the disciples at this point, I still don't think they truly believed that Jesus was going to be taken and crucified. I mean, honestly.
This point, they did.
I think when Judas showed up in the garden, like, they were like, wait a minute.
What up, man?
Yeah, I mean.
Amen.
They thought, hey, this is going down this way.
Well, you know, how did it affect Jesus when his brothers let him down? How did he overcome that? Somebody said it. Pray. And then what did he do when he came back and he's still disappointed? They're still asleep. Pray some more. So, okay, here it is. When you go into battle and somebody in your family, your friends disappoint you with their response to support you. What do you do? How often do you do that? You know, we don't do that very often. We'll rant and rave about how they didn't meet me where I was, or get involved. Jesus did not get involved with what was their downfall and them falling asleep. He went back and prayed to the Father that He could accept this, and then He came back and they're asleep again. Man, I'd be kicking tables over. Good gosh, it's not that hard. Stay awake. No, he went back and prayed some more. It's a great example for us to follow. So he prayed and prayed until he won the battle of temptation to have it his way versus the Father's way. This is pretty telling too. If you read this whole thing, just drag it apart. Jesus, here comes Judas and the Roman soldiers and Jesus and His boys. And how did boldness come upon Jesus when they got there? He was silent before their accusation. He didn't try to explain and argue with them about what was said, because they weren't interested in the truth. He knew they weren't interested in the truth. And his boldness came from his silence. You know, And this, and to jump, amen, to his obedience too. He had already settled all that in the garden. He knew what was going to happen, and he was cool with it. He's going to walk it out now. You ever needed to remain bold and silent at a confrontation? Boldly silent. Remember that. Tempted Jesus. Who was tempting him to argue? Satan. Wanted to entice him to defend who he was. That's what Satan did when he was trying to offer up the kingdoms of the earth to him. If you are the Son of God. He didn't have a great debate about who he was with Satan. He knew who he was. Question is, do we know who we are? Are we a son of God? You don't have to argue if you're the son of God. He remained in authority by being boldly silent. Now jumping from Jesus to Peter. I love Peter because he's such an example for us. What do you think led Peter to deny Jesus? Huh? Flesh? What part of the flesh?
Fear.
Fear. Intimidation. Now Peter pulled his blade out and cut a dude's ear off. You know. But when it... Now notice there's always a crowd around when Peter had ever done anything bold. You ever know anybody, I'll jump off here. You know. I'll jump out of the back of this car, moving. Y'all watching? I've done that before. But you know, what's the possible rationale for why Peter cut his ear off? To prove how much he loved you. To prove, you know, when he walked on water, there's two other guys there watching. Peter wasn't going to be the... Out of wanting to impress his peer group, Peter could have taken on some of these tasks. But when it's just him and a servant girl, I mean a servant girl, what did he say? I don't know. Amen. You know, and Peter gets credit, though. Peter was there. The other disciples didn't even come. Peter was there where they took Jesus. And after he denied him three times, he heard the crow. And the rooster crowed, and he hit his knees and started crying because he realized that he'd been intimidated. He'd succumbed to fear. So, what is intimidation? What's the root of intimidation? Fear, but if you boil that down to what is it? Keep going with it. I mean, keep going. What is intimidation? What is fear?
Fear of consequence.
Fear of consequence. What? Love of. It's a love of self. It's a love of self-preservation more than it is of selfless love. If you boil it down to, you love you more than you love others. You don't want to give it up. You don't want to give you up in a battle that you might get lost in. Okay? That's what intimidation is. But perfect love casts out fear and gives us boldness. That's what Jesus dealt with in the garden, and after he dealt with it, he wasn't intimidated by their accusations, by anything. It was his cross and he was going to take it all the way. You know, so we see Peter. Peter's been playing bold. And Jesus called him on. So Peter gets there and he already predicted he prophesied you're gonna deny me three times. Now understand Jesus is breaking Peter down to build him up. So fear and intimidation are magnified also when we focus on ourselves. You know, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't get up there. I can't give my testimony. How am I going to look in front of those people? Woo! I mean, I don't care how I look, obviously. Y'all will amen that.
That video clip Michael showed a while back about the little girl that went off the edge, that clip, they thought she'd fallen down the side of that. You saw the guy, and his dad and mother, just jumped right over the fence and went after her. I mean,
amen.
There was no fear, there was just a lot of things for the child, whether or not they looked or not, they were just there for
it. Amen. You know. Mark 4:16, I'm going to read it real quick, says, and this is talking about the parable of the sower and what ground it lands on. 16 says, others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last for a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So, when it comes... And Peter didn't have deep roots at the time. It's not a one-shot deal, though. Because Peter, the seed had hit Peter, and he'd grown up. He'd, oh, Jesus, I'll never deny you. Were you with Jesus? Oh, were you with Jesus? I know who. Jesus who? No. 3 times said he didn't know. Because his roots weren't deep. But Jesus broke him down, and the first one that he came to... was Peter. He said, I want Peter there. And what did he ask Peter 3 times? And he asked Peter, did he love him agape? Do you love me agape? And Peter would answer, you know I love you phileo. What Peter was saying, Jesus was saying, do you love me actionable? And Jesus would answer, you know I feel that way for you. And he said, do you love me actionable? He said, you know I feel that way for you. And he asked him, do you love me actionable? And he said, he kept repeating the same thing that Jesus was trying to tell him, then walk it out. You know, he encouraged him by telling him, if you want to be a disciple, come on, let's look at it. See, the thing we got to understand is wanting to please God is not enough. Mark 8. Where is it? It says 34. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up my cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for you to gain the whole world yet forfeit your soul? Or what can you give in exchange for your soul? If any of you are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of you when he comes in his Father's glory with all the holy angels. So wanting to be holy is not enough. The desire to be holy is not enough. We got to walk it out. Jesus says, whoever's a disciple of mine will pick up his what? And do what? Want to follow him? Or do what?
Following.
Start dragging it. Making a trail behind you with it. Too many of us want to do things but never get around to doing it. It's time to quit wanting.
Well, the only way you can walk with that cross every day is where your heart is. You got to follow what he's just asking Peter. Do you love him? Because if you do love him, you will pick up that cross every day and you will change every single day towards what you need.
Amen.
You're not going to, just like Peter, if you don't love him with all your heart, you're going to fail. You're gonna say,
amen. You know, but Peter went from a failure to a finisher. And what we have to understand is, why do you think Jesus picked on Peter so much? Why do you think he pressed down on Peter so much?
He was testing,
but he's also getting the good stuff out of him. By pressing down on Peter, what's Proverbs 27:17 say? What are we founded on? As iron sharpens iron. So Jesus took the sharpest ones with him in the garden, even though they fell asleep, and Jesus is pressing Peter, because what's going to happen with Peter? Who's the church going to be founded on? The rock. Peter's going to be known as the rock. He's gone from the one who denied him 3 times to going to be the rock. To people are throwing themselves into Peter's shadow, 3,000 were saved at Pentecost when Peter preached. And people are diving into his shadow as he walks down the street and being healed. Understand, this isn't the same Peter. What happened with Peter? Holy Spirit filled Peter, and Peter started walking it out. He didn't just want to be holy. He just didn't want to be a good disciple. He walked it out. He was a good disciple. He picked up his cross, and he followed Jesus. Who's crucified upside down? Peter. Who predicted that? Who told, prophesied that to him? He said, somebody's going to lead you when you were young, and told him, and Peter didn't like what he said. Well, what about John? This is the Peter who said, what about John? Why can't he go? You know, that's what I'd be saying. Why not John? You know. And he said, don't worry about him. He said, what's it to you if he's here when I come back? And what he was speaking to John was, you're going to be the one I'm going to give revelation to. But John died. They boiled John in oil. Wasn't nothing easy for a disciple. They all had to pick up their cross and walk with him. Now understand, we in this room are trying to go about the Father's business. So if you're still standing beside your cross and you're wanting to be a disciple, that is not enough. Do you understand? It's not enough. I mean, if you want to be used, who is really ready to quit being a follower and actually pick up your cross and get behind him and go? Amen? I mean, you know, the excuses aren't going to work in the day. I mean, he knows. Peter faked boldness when he was with Jesus, even around Jesus. He's like, I'll never deny you. Jesus called him on it. But why did he call him on it? He kept picking on Peter to press down on Peter and to get the most out of Peter he could get out of Peter. And that's, you know, the church of Smyrna, in the book of Revelations, that Jesus, there's two churches that Jesus had no fault in. Smyrna was being pressed down, crushed, oppressed. They're just trying to stay alive. You know, Smyrna comes from the root word of myrrh, which is also what they took to Jesus, the wise men carried and delivered Jesus. You know how you get something good out of myrrh? You crush it down, you press it. It makes an aromatic smell. It's like perfume, but it just doesn't come that way. You got to beat on it and crush it and get it to a point where it's something pleasing to Him, and you deliver it that way. So if you've been feeling crushed and pressed down and oppressed and beat up by the world, it's time to get your cross up and get to walking. Amen? Zach?
You know, one thing is, though, before Jesus came back, and before Pentecost, they were with Jesus and around Jesus. And then, you know, when he came back and spoke to them, he said, I'm leaving you the great comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. Once they were filled with the Holy Spirit, that's when their boldness started and they changed. It was like putting God in. And I think a lot of people don't realize that that's really what it takes now. I mean, you have to be obedient and you have to be willing to invite the Holy Spirit to work through you. And that's what keeps you on track and not thinking about these things you struggle with. And it's not just reading the Bible and coming here. I mean, the Holy Spirit is still effective with us, and that's what changed us in men's life. And I think that's a lot of us never get that part.
Amen.
Until you do, you're only going to grow so far.
Amen. It's not about us.
Right.
When you focus on you and how much you love you, you love Jesus less. You know, if you can't do something, if you can't quit something, if you can't go somewhere and preach the gospel, if you can't do anything for the kingdom, if there's an excuse for the reason you can't do something for the kingdom, it is because you don't love Jesus enough.
Jody, we had a discussion last Sunday about the Holy Spirit, and he made a good point. And I mean, I've talked about it before, but he said, you know, Jesus called the Holy Spirit, I'm going to send you the helper. Well, that's the point is that we can't walk in righteousness without the Holy Spirit, but he called him the helper. He didn't say he's going to do it for us.
Amen.
That's what Jody said. He's like, you got to participate.
That's a great point, man. You ever read in the Bible about Jesus coming and waking the guy up to heal him? It ain't in there. He had to find them seeking him in some form or fashion. They had to come seek him. You know, so many times we want to be healed in our bed. It just ain't that way. It's just, I mean, you'd be lying to yourself if you expected God to do anything for you if you're not willing to take off, pick up your cross and go. But if you start walking with it, I guarantee you, you'll be blessed along the way. He'll come and join you in it. You know, he's not going to keep the mountain from you, but he'll help you with your climbing gear. You know? Amen.
Do we acknowledge where we are? You know, I know everybody's on different levels as far as the word and stuff like that. But you don't acknowledge, hey, I'm struggling with this. Because, I mean, there's been times I'm struggling with something, I ain't getting a circle. But I have to acknowledge that I have that problem before I do that.
And amen.
If I do acknowledge it, I got to take that step. It's just like you're talking about. You got to walk it out. Do amen. Something about it.
Amen. And that's a good point because, you know why Jesus kept working with Peter? Peter kept showing up. Peter kept showing up.
Well, and another thing, like what Matt's talking about, I feel like, it's not just I need healing for this or I need to pray for somebody or I have an addiction. It might be I want to have a knowledge for God's Word. I want to start getting it. I want to have a hunger to learn more and grow. I mean, that might be why you need to be healed.
I mean, I want to know my spiritual gift. I want to use my spiritual gift. If you don't know your spiritual gift, you need to have a hunger to know it and then to use it. I mean, and I tell you, if y'all have a desire to do this, we could do a spiritual gift in here. It ain't just obvious all the time. There's a little inventory we could. I mean, there's some material on this, and I've done it before. And it's really good. If you're interested in doing it, I mean, not a lot of churches do it. I think more often to establish where your gift is. Do you have a gift of healing? Well, it'll be revealed if you are. You know, if that's something y'all would like to do, raise your hand. Oh, that's obvious. Right? We'll do that then.